This Sunday, we continue with our Shine sermon series. It's really hard for me to say that without doing jazz hands. Our Shine sermon series, as we focus on Luke chapter 4, verses 21 through 30. This passage follows directly on the text we read in worship last week and continues the story of Jesus' visit to his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. Last week, we heard of how Jesus read a passage from Isaiah and proclaimed that God's vision of justice and freedom had been fulfilled in him. And people responded with amazement. This week, we're going to see how quickly that amazement turns to anger, because Jesus makes it clear that God's vision of justice and freedom isn't just for the people of Israel. It's not just for insiders, but for everyone. You see, the people of Nazareth were prepared to hear that God's kingdom was being fulfilled in Jesus, but they weren't quite prepared to hear that there was room in the kingdom for everyone. Their expectation was that the Messiah would come to deliver Israel and to bring vengeance on Israel's enemies. But then Jesus reminded them of a time when God brought famine on Israel as a judgment against the people's sin, and God saved a Gentile widow. And then he reminded them of a time when there were many lepers in Israel, but God cleansed the Gentile, Naaman. Jesus' message was the opposite of what they expected to hear, and that did not go over so well. So let's see what happens when we pick up at the end of last week's reading. Friends, listen now for the word of God in Luke chapter 4, verses 21 through 30. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman, the Syrian." And when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Friends, here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Maran Tirabassi is a UCC pastor who is also a poet. She regularly posts prayers and poems on her Facebook page, and she finds inspiration for her work, both in the world all around us and in the Word of God. She posted a poem a few weeks ago that offered an invitation to imagine what Jesus might have been thinking before he went to the synagogue in Nazareth to preach his first sermon. It's called Parable Before the Sermon in Nazareth, and it goes like this. At breakfast on the Sabbath morning, when he was going to preach in his hometown synagogue, he looked around the table at his hovering, anxious parents, maybe a couple of fragile new disciples, the sunlight streaming in the door, reminding him of his other heritage. And he said, "Sometimes my words are like a deep chalice that holds all of God's children in their most vulnerable times. And sometimes my words are a spoon to stir things up. Today I will save the chalice for later." Jesus certainly knew how to stir things up. It seems like the people of Nazareth would have been much happier if Jesus had just stopped talking after the first part of his sermon, the part we heard last week. They seemed totally fine with what Jesus said when he said that Isaiah's prophecy about the coming Messiah was coming true in him. They were on board with the idea that Jesus' ministry, his mission, was to bring God's vision of justice to fulfillment. The folks in Jesus' hometown were initially amazed at his gracious words, and they spoke well of him. Maybe they were relieved, excited, hopeful. After all, they and the Israelite people had been waiting for centuries for the Messiah to come. And the Messiah was turning out to be one of their very own, the son of their neighbor, Joseph, raised right in their own town. But then, amazement turned to anger, and in the blink of an eye, we find the people of Nazareth ready to hurl Jesus off a cliff. If only Jesus had stopped talking after that first part of his sermon, everything would have been fine. But he just had to keep going. He had to get out that wooden spoon and stir things up. Because he had to make sure the people of Nazareth knew that God's vision of justice and freedom wasn't just for people like them, but for everyone. God's goodness and God's grace wasn't just for people like them, but for everyone. God's love and light wasn't just for them, but for everyone. God was flinging the doors of the kingdom wide open and inviting everyone in. And that was not exactly what the people of Nazareth wanted to hear. So they got up and they drove Jesus out of town right to the edge of a cliff. Now, it can be easy to find ourselves passing judgment on the people of Nazareth for wanting to kill Jesus, thinking we would never have found our place in that crowd back then. But I wonder if we're honest, if it can feel like Jesus' words stir us up sometimes too. Because if we're honest, one of the hardest parts about our faith can be when we bump up against the truth that God's kingdom is not just for people like us or people that we think are deserving of the kingdom. God's kingdom is for everyone. One of the hardest parts of our calls as Christians can be to fling the doors of our hearts wide open, just as wide as God flings the doors of the kingdom. And one of the most important things that we are called to do as a congregation is to fling wide the doors of the church too. Our call as Christians, our call as a church, is to offer the same kind of extravagant welcome God offers to each one of us, and to offer that welcome to everyone. I want to tell you about a man named Danny. Danny was a member of Greenpoint Reformed Church in Brooklyn, New York. That's the church where my colleague, the Reverend Ann Cansfield, serves as co-pastor. Reverend Ann wrote about Danny in her book, Be the Brave One. She writes about how Danny was a man who struggled in lots of ways during his life. He struggled with learning disabilities as a child. He struggled to hold down a job as an adult. He also struggled with addiction and worked really hard at his sobriety. It was actually through AA meetings at the church that Danny first got connected with Reverend Ann's congregation. And when the church opened a food pantry, Danny jumped right in to lend a hand. He was a helper by nature, even if there were other parts of his nature that weren't quite so helpful. But Danny became a steady presence at the food pantry. Even after he lost his apartment near the church and moved to a shelter 5 miles away, he kept coming back to AA meetings and to worship and to volunteer at the food pantry, walking 5 miles both ways. Greenpoint was the closest thing he had to a home. Now, one night, Reverend Ann came downstairs from the parsonage apartment, which was actually located above the church. She came down and wanted to make sure that the building was locked up properly. And for the first time in 10 years since she had been there, she heard someone in the sanctuary. She heard the sound of snoring. Now, she didn't know who was in there or what she should do. So, being Anne, she called the police and found a piece of wood that looked something like a baseball bat and stood guard near the sanctuary until the police arrived. And when they turned on the lights in the sanctuary, who do you think they found there? Danny. Danny had been at worship that morning, and the church had celebrated his birthday with brownies during coffee hour. And then he had stayed at the church all afternoon so that he could attend the AA meeting that was held on Sunday evenings. And Danny got tired during that meeting, and he fell asleep in the pews. Now, Reverend Ann didn't want him sleeping out on the street that night, so she told the police it was fine for him to stay at the church, and she told Danny that the next morning they'd have to get him back to the shelter. The next morning, when Reverend Ann went downstairs to check on Danny, she says she found him lying peacefully on the pews. And as she writes, when I say peacefully, I mean Danny was enjoying the Lord's eternal peace. Sometime during the night, Danny had died. Of course, she freaked out a little bit again and had to figure out what to do, but after all the logistics were handled, Reverend Ann took a moment to reflect on Danny's last day. how he had celebrated his birthday with his church, how he had slept in the safety of the sanctuary. And she writes, on his last day, Danny was home. He was with us in a place where he belonged. Friends, in this season of Epiphany, may we remember our call to let the light of hospitality shine in this world through each one of us. May we remember our call as Christians to fling the doors of our hearts wide open, just as wide as God flings the doors of the kingdom. And may we always remember our call as a church to offer the same kind of extravagant welcome God offers to each one of us. Because no matter who we are or where we are on life's journey, or whether we have a home elsewhere or not, we have a home here. May this always be a place where everyone who walks through these doors knows that they belong. Amen. Now, friends, as we get ready for communion, if you're worshiping with us from home, it is not too late